Refresh.
Hey, what's up, you guys? It's your boy, the Muffin Man, coming back at you again with another episode of Refreshed Podcasts. I hope your day is off to an absolutely incredible start so far. Thank you for listening to this podcast, even if your day isn't off to the best start. I pray that this episode that has found you and that it will begin to breathe fresh life into you, but you have to allow it. So let's pray and let's ask the Lord to be with us today. Lord, we love you and we just thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to open up our hearts and our ears to receive a word from you. God, I pray that you would anoint my lips. Let it not be my words alone, but let it be yours, God. God, I pray that these words would be seeds embedded in our hearts, Lord, that you would come by and water them for the harvest, that we can use the things that grow from hearing this word to reach your people and to share with those around us. God, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, we are talking about our series, The Grand Exchange, where by definition, our human minds would say an exchange is taking something of one value and giving it to someone for something of an equal value. Almost like if you were taking American dollars and you were exchanging it for a foreign currency, you're basically giving them the amount of one money in exchange for another type of currency valued of what you gave them, right? Does that put into perspective for you? So the beauty of this grand exchange is because the case is like this is the situation, right? If that were the case for us in our own lives with Jesus Christ, then we would never be able to gather enough resources to pay back the debt that we owe. We would be scraping around everything that we can possibly get. We would be digging under our couch cushions and emptying out our piggy banks, right, in our wallets and the change up in our car. But the truth of the matter is that if this was about an equal exchange with Jesus, then there's no scale that we could ever, no resource we can ever provide that would pay the debt that we owe. And that's the beauty of the grand exchange, taking the little broken things that we would define as insignificant. And God says, because you're trusting me by giving me these things of very little value, then I will give you something of a much greater value. In our previous episodes, we see that God wants to give us life in the exchange of graves for gardens. God wants to give us hope in the exchange of bones for armies. And today, God wants to give us a way in the exchange of seas for highways. Now, one of the first things that will come to your mind when I mention this is the parting of the Red Sea. If you've been involved in church for a little while, but, you know, even with all of the movies and the Hollywood adaptations, it's safe to say that we've all seen the parting of the Red Sea in some kind of fashion. Moses petitions. Here's the story, right? So Moses petitions this Pharaoh several times to free the Israelites, God's chosen people. And then Pharaoh refuses to do this several times. God punishes his stubborn decisions with plague after plague until Pharaoh just decides to just take them and go, get out of my sight. And as they're on their way to sweet freedom, he changes his mind and they go in pursuit to take their slaves back. Although to their surprise, the one true God wasn't surprised and instructs his servant Moses to strike the water with his staff. And in his obedience of tapping his staff in the water, the splitting of the Red Sea takes place. And the Red Sea parts in half and Israel safely walks across and flees Pharaoh's evil clutches as he's swept away from the sea that drowns him and his army. Now, if you're listening to this story, you're probably saying, you know, I've heard this story before, and this episode of podcast is an absolute waste of my time, and perhaps, but what if I told you that the seas into highways I was referring to wasn't exactly what we just talked about? See, I was reading the other day when I came across a second Parting of the Sea that surprised me, because it's not as commonly known as the other. I feel like whenever we talk about the Parting of the Sea, we think of the Red Sea, right? But today I want to introduce you. I want to point some fingers at another Parting of the Sea that I came across, and this can be found in the book of Joshua chapter 3, and we're going to read it to you. And this is regarding the Jordan River, right? So it says, "And then Joshua rose early in the morning, and he and all the sons of Israel set out from Shittim and came to the Jordan, and they lodged there before they crossed. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the midst of the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, with the Levitical priests carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. However, there shall be between you and it a distance of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you shall go, for you have not passed this way before.' Then Joshua said to the people, 'Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.' And Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, 'Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over ahead of the people.' So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of the people. Now, the Lord said to Joshua, 'This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. You shall moreover command the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, saying, "When you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan." Then Joshua said to the sons of Israel, "Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God." Joshua said, "By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will assuredly from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites." I'm sorry, guys, this is a wee bit of a struggle, right? That Old Testament, tribe language, right? "The Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusite. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over ahead of you into the Jordan. Now then, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man for each tribe. It shall come about when the soles of the feet of the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the water, rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan will be cut off, and the waters which are flowing down from above will stand in one heap. So when the people set out from their tents to cross the Jordan with the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and when those who carried the Ark came into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests carrying the Ark were dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks all the days of the harvest, the waters which were flowing down from above stood and rose up in one heap in a great distance away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan, and those who were floating down toward the sea of Araba, the salt sea," I almost said sea salt, right, "were completely cut off. So the people crossed opposite Jericho, and the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel crossed on dry ground until all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan." Wow. So it says that Joshua sent the priest with the Ark of the Covenant in front of everyone. And so this could be for everyone to follow, right? Because God had said, okay, so we're going to send the Ark ahead of everyone, but we're going to keep that distance to keep that holy reverence there. And also so that way your focus and your attention can be on my presence in moving through the Jordan. So the Ark of the Covenant during this time was the place that God's presence had dwelled. And we see scriptural evidence in several places regarding the Ark of the Covenant. In 1 Chronicles 15, 13 through 14, it says, "Because you did not carry it at the first, the Lord our God made an outburst on us, for we did not seek him according to the ordinances. So the priests and the Levites consecrated themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And in Numbers 10:33, it says, "Thus they set out from the mount of the Lord, 3 days' journey with the ark of the covenant of the Lord, journeying in front of them for the 3 days to seek out a resting place for them." And there's so many other scriptural references. But what we can see here is that the ark of the covenant is a big deal because they always journeyed with it, and they we're always getting it taken. We read several times that the enemies are always constantly trying to steal this ark and trying to devalue or deface this ark, right? And in the presence of, in the holy place, we even see that the ark is held in the inner room. See, God's leading Israel through the Jordan with the ark leading the way, held by the Levites. And we see in our scripture reference from 1 Chronicles that it's because the Levites had taken time to consecrate themselves, to make themselves holy and presentable before God. And Joshua encouraged the remainder of the Israelites to do the very same thing, to prepare themselves for the move of God in that same day that was coming up in verse 5. Israel was preparing for some spiritual warfare, and Joshua encourages them to prepare their hearts to see God moving on their behalf, to focus on God because he was about to do wonders among them. In verses 7 through 8, God shares with Joshua, "Today I am going to exalt you in the sight of Israel." Just as God had done for Israel under the authority and guidance of Moses in the Red Sea, he was going to do for Joshua with the Jordan River. He wanted Joshua to have faith that they would cross the river that seemed impossible. But we know that God's specialty is making a way through impossible situations. See, make an important note of this. God doesn't bring you to the sea highway without the journey it took to get there. And let me explain that for you. Moses had seen the hand of God moving several times prior to the parting of the Red Sea. He had just watched God perform the plagues prior to this. He had seen the power of God moving in Egypt when he was going to set the people free that were held captive. He had represented this really powerful God, and he had got to see just how powerful God was in those moments where God was displaying his power. And so when God said, "Moses, I'm going to split this sea in half, tap your staff," Moses trusted and believed because he had already seen the power God demonstrated, and he believed that God could. Joshua had the best mentor that he could, which was Moses. He had learned about trusting God and had a front row seat for a lot of the miracles that they had encountered together. So we could definitely believe that Moses spent time teaching Joshua how to trust God in the difficult, pressured moments. And in Joshua 1, verse 11, it says that Joshua had led his troops through the Jordan to conquer land that God had set aside for them to obtain. So it's safe to say that Joshua had already knew how vicious the Jordan River could be. And to cross it with a multitude of people, much less the Ark of the Covenant, would not be an easy task in their own power. See, God was calling him to abandon what he had knew about the Jordan, because God was looking to make an exchange with Joshua. God was saying that, "Joshua, if you obey me and you give me the Jordan and you give me the sea, then I'll give you a highway." In verse 15, we begin to see a little glimpse of God leading up to making a way for them, just as he had begun to prompt Joshua's heart and show him. So in verse 15, it talks about how the priest will dip their feet into the Jordan. And let me just read that once again for you. So in 15, it says, "And when those who carried the ark came into the Jordan, and the feet of the priest carrying the ark were dipped into the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all of its banks during the days of harvest." So, right here, Joshua is basically saying, like, okay, it's the moment that the priests are going to step forward and the moment that their feet hit the bottom of this bank, right? Let's finish up the rest of those scriptures and see exactly what happens. It says that the waters which were flowing down from above stood and rose up in one heap a great distance away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarath. And those which were flowing down towards the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off so that the people crossed opposite Jericho. And the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel crossed on dry ground until all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan. So as the feet of the priest hit the bottom of the Jordan, the water began to stand still, moving and creating a dry path for them to travel on the other side. Now, I'm a Louisiana boy, and anytime it poured down raining, the ground was soft for a while. I mean, it did not dry up in an instant. It was definitely muddy, and it was not firm. You couldn't walk on it right after because you would sink or you would slip. And so to see what's going on here, that here's the Jordan in this place of harvest, a time where it's raining a lot because the ground's being saturated, you know, by rain and the nutrients, right? And so the Jordan's accumulating all this rain, making it more hectic and more fierce. And so here it is, the river is just mighty and strong. But to see the power of God governing nature and commanding the moist soil beneath the Jordan to dry up, creating a stable foundation to walk on, is absolutely incredible, you know, because I'm sure that the ground was definitely not safe to walk across, but God had made a way because of the exchange. He had took the seas and he created for them a highway, right? He created for them a place that they could walk. See, in our own power, physically, we can't walk through seas. And if we were to try to do that, we would eventually just sink and drown. We would, assuming that we're just walking through the sea and we're not trying to swim, but you know, even if we were trying to swim across a sea, eventually we would grow weary or we would even be swept away by the water. But here's the thing. There's a variety of seas that we encounter in this life. Let's kind of look at some examples of the sea, right? What about losing your job in a most inconvenient time? Whenever everything is going possibly wrong and the prices are starting to go up and you know, you got gas starting to go up and you're about to get married and you're about to start this life, and then your boss comes in your office and says, oh, I'm sorry, but there's budget cuts and we're going to have to let you go. It's no hard feelings. You're just fired, or your company is merging and we don't have any room for you on the roster anymore. There's no hard feelings. What do you do in those moments, right? It's a very difficult moment to walk through. Or maybe you were pregnant with your first child and you were super excited. You begin the journey and then one day your body doesn't feel right. And the doctor delivers the dream-breaking news that your little one isn't going to make an appearance into this world. How do you go past the sea after something like that, right? Does it feel like everything in your life is stacking up on top of you and things are just piling up and you just can't seem to catch up? See, the list goes on and the waves go on. There's so many waves in the sea, and the sea is fierce and the seas feel endless. But today, God is calling us to follow after his presence. See, the Jordan River didn't create a path until the priest who dwelled in the presence of God walked forward and got their feet into the water. If we're trying to cross the sea without following after God's presence, then we will surely grow faint, because in that moment, the focus is on our strength and not God's. Joshua was a general, and Joshua was very intelligent, and he understood things on a physical level, but God wanted him to abandon what he thought he knew about the Jordan to make a way for him in a different light. See, one of the key elements of this miracle was for God to establish Joshua as a leader that Israel could trust. Israel had experienced parting of the Red Sea with Moses. And if that didn't sharpen or develop their trust for Moses, I'm sure it definitely did after that happened. I mean, we still see that they give Moses problems later on, and they're still very stubborn, and they, you know, there's times where they don't want to follow him, but I'm sure their trust and their faith and their respect grew in him that day. And so God says, Joshua, I am preparing you to be that leader that Israel can trust through this process. And when we exchange our seas for highways, God exalts us in the presence of those around us to establish us as leaders that can be trusted. See, oftentimes we read about these moments, right? We hear that about the many great things that God does for others, but when God nudges our heart and he says, hey, it's your time, I'm interested in doing it for you. You've heard all of these stories that I've done for others, but guess what? I want to do it for you. Will you bring your feet to the place of God's presence is? Will you bring yourself to the place that God's presence is? Even if it requires you to do something that doesn't make sense, may appear scary, but will cause your faith to hit the bench press and do some reps. See, they had to follow the Ark of the Covenant from a distance, right? And that's so their focus and their attention can see it. But how many times do we just take a step back and we admire the presence of God? We admire the glory of God. We admire the splendor of God. Because sometimes we're just like following it, and we're like following, but we never really stop and just sit there and just look and focus and admire everything it is that God's presence contains and that God's glory has. When do we ever take a step back and just breathe and say, man, God, you've brought me through so much. Man, God, you have really delivered me from so much. Man, God, you have answered so many prayers. Man, God, there were so many moments where I didn't think I was going to make it through, but you helped me make it through it. We take those things for granted. Because we are on this kick, we are on this we're on this highway, right? Not like the seas, the highway's highway, but like, you know, you think of that physical highway where like there's all these cars and you got to go really, 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 really fast or you're going to get run over. I feel like we get in that mindset with God, right? And like, we're just like trying to follow him a million miles per hour and we overlook everything that he's wanting to do for us. We need to stop. We need to pull over and we need to just admire the splendor and the glory and the majesty that is King Jesus. See, God wants our seas because it's things that paralyze our life. When we become intimidated by the seas in front of us, we become stationary or we look for alternative routes to get us to where God wants us to go. I keep wanting to call him Jeremiah. His name is not Jeremiah, right? What if Joshua would have said, no, God, I'm good. You know, that's not a good idea. I mean, you know, I'm glad it worked for Moses. That's awesome. But, you know, look, I've been through the Jordan and it is a difficult task. I mean, I had my soldiers with me last time and they are trained to do very difficult things. But now I got these everyday people here with me. And there's times where they can be a little whiny and they're not very appreciative. And, you know, how about we just take the long way around and, you know, we still get there later on, right? And so, but no. Instead, Joshua trusted God. Why? Because Joshua was not a stranger to the presence of God. He had exchanged his seas for highways, and he believed that God could bring them across. And today, I challenge you to do the same. Let's trade God the very things that scare us, the very things that leave us in the same place for a very long time, that we wish that God would use us and God would do something with us. And God, we're your servant and we're here and we just want to do your will. But we're, at the same time, we're also ignoring the tug of God because it's very intimidating, because we're so scared, because the seas look so rough in front of us. We're so afraid to just take a step out and place our feet down, and that as soon as the soles of our feet touches the bank, that God creates a highway and makes a way for us to walk through the seas of our life, the chaos of our life, and the waves that would wash us away in our own power. Let's walk forward. Let's step in. And let's believe that as soon as our souls hit the bottom, that God makes a way. And that when we reach the other side, that our feet are dry the entire time. Because the foundations that were squishy and muddy and soft, that we would have sunk or that we would have tripped or that we would have fallen or that we would have been injured on, now they obey the authority that is that God is governing over this environment, and they stabilize, and now they're firm. He's made a highway because you exchange your seas. He makes a way where there is no way. Let's pray. God, I just thank you so much because you are so good to us. And God, that is a truly an understatement. God, you are way better than good to us. God, you do so much for us even when we're undeserving. God, I thank you that your mercies are new every morning. God, I thank you that there's always breath to breathe for my lungs. God, I thank you that you have provided all the things that I need to live life every day by this world standard. But God, I also thank you for everything that you provide. And God, the wisdom and the understanding that you provide that I can abandon the standard of the world and live by your standard. God, I thank you that in my own power, I earned hell and I chose sin. But because you made a way and you presented your son Jesus to die, that his blood would be shed to cover my sins and to wash me and make me clean, that when I accept what he's done and I believe it and apply it to my life, Lord, that I would have an opportunity to have an inheritance that never runs out. Lord, thank you for that. God, I thank you that today that you're looking to make an exchange. That today you're looking to take the seas that of our life, the things that paralyze us, the things that scare us, the things that keep us from moving forward with you. The situations, the pain, the struggle, the grudges that we hold against you. The times that we say, God, I thought you were so powerful. Why didn't you stop that from happening to me? God, all the things that we blame you for that is not your fault. God, we trade all these things and we put them in a box. And we hold it out to you in exchange for the highways, the ways that you're looking to pave in these difficult moments, the ways that you're looking to silence the waves and the way that you're looking to walk through this with us. God, I thank you that you don't remove difficult moments from us, but you're willing to walk through it with us. Thank you for that, Lord. God, I thank you for this exchange today. I pray that you give us enough strength and courage to exchange these things and not ask for them back, but that we can remember that each and every day that you have made a way where there is none. When we deem it to be impossible, you say it's possible. When we bring up our experiences and say, I've done this before, I've experienced this before, God, and I just don't know about this, God, that you can remind us of Joshua and how you done it for him, and you can remind us of Moses and how you did it for him. God, that we would remember that you are bringing us to the preparation place before you're bringing us to the sea, God, because when we see your power demonstrated in our lives, it encourages us to trust that you are going to make a way just as you have done before. God, I pray that we would see you. God, I pray that we would know you're there. And God, I pray that we would trust your lead. Father, we love you and we thank you and we give you praise for all that you do, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Refresh Podcast, where Christ goes before us so we can bring you another refreshing word. This has been your boy, the Muffin Man, saying, keep it fresh, have a good day, and God bless. I love you guys, and I'll see you next time, or I'll be with you next time, right? Because I don't really see you on these, but without further ado, right, you have a good day. Okay, bye-bye.